Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus chapter 12. This morning we talked about sacrifice. And tonight we're going to talk about the subject of memorial. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, here in Exodus chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and read out loud. You follow along silently these first 14 verses. Here in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And then the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." You notice here that as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm sure in your Bible reading, I hope you get through reading your Bible in a year's time, and perhaps you've already been through the book of Exodus in your Bible reading, and you probably remember reading through this and all the different details and just the little things. I want to point out one kind of a carnal thing to you. It says it's roasted with fire, so long live the smoker. Go for it. Didn't say charcoal, Brother Dart. And not propane. Let's get it through the fire. And so anyways, because they didn't have propane back then, I don't think. But they had wood. Amen? But that's a free thing there. take it or leave it. But, you know, you did notice here all the little details. Can I tell you something? These are the details. The very details that were very important in what was to happen in time to come. Or may I better say, in the fullness of time. Because that's when Christ came and fulfilled these things. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You understand that this Lamb that was represented during this time, as this tenth plague was about to pass upon Egypt, and what would really kind of be the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will, and sent the people of God out of Egypt to the promised land. This was it. The death angel coming by, taking out the firstborn of the beasts and the men, as it mentions here in the scriptures. And as God says and speaks this to Moses, and he speaks he's speaking to Moses and Aaron, and they're going to be passing this on to the people. He says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." So we just must simply ask the question, well, what does really it mean, Memorial Day? You know, what does it really mean when we say that the things that we celebrate, which is represented here in front of us, in our local Baptist churches, of the thing of the Lord's Supper? Well, what does that really mean? What does that really stand for? Well, it's just simply something that preserves the memory of something. That's all a memorial is. That which preserves the memory of something. Anything that serves to keep us in memory. So it's a symbol, right? It's a maybe a day or a time or an individual thing that helps us remember and keep in memory these things. What did God want his people to remember? This time. This salvation of God that was set forth. And so much more we could go into tonight, which we do not have time for, into the thing about the lamb and it being without blemish and a male lamb and that it was to be roasted with fire and not sodden with water and not eaten raw. And there's all this stuff that you can go into. And you can look here, like in verse 9, it says, with his head and with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. I mean, it was supposed to be a complete whole sacrifice. As Christ was a complete whole sacrifice for us. You understand that all of these things were set forth. And he said that from this day forward, he says, throughout your generations, he said, even forever, I want you to remember this. I want you to keep this in memory. Don't let it out of your memory. And can I say to you tonight, as we talk about the Lord's Supper, and as we talk about this thing of Jesus Christ giving his blood and giving his body, giving himself a sacrifice for us, that we need to keep it in memory. Continually. Constantly. And Jesus even said himself, as oft as ye do this, do it in remembrance of me. We need to remember. And you know, how often is it said, I've seen bumper stickers and flags and shirts that says, lest we forget. I mean, we need to remember. And that's what something like Memorials Day and Armed Forces Day and Veterans Day, you know, those are special days. We even now have, because of 9/11, we have the days that we remember those that gave their lives in service here in our country for the firefighters and the police officers and the medical workers and those that sacrificed themselves for our benefit. It's a memorial. Something that preserves the memory. It serves to keep in memory. I have over here the different flags of that are representative of our military and our country and things. I have the shadow box with a flag in it. It serves as a memory, a memorial. You know, we just need to remember. God wants us to remember things. You know what's going to happen? If we neglect the memory of these things, we're bound to repeat them. That's what happens. If you just kind of slack off and forget these things, you're going to have to go through some things again. And can I say, I don't think that's going to be very pleasant. How many of you, maybe that are a little bit older, think that our country ought to go through another World War II? Or another Korean War, another Vietnam? Anybody want to sign up for that? No, thanks. I think I'd rather remember. I think I'd rather keep these things in memory so we don't repeat those things. Now listen, in a spiritual sense, we need to keep in remembrance. Our church chooses to celebrate Memorial Day on every fifth Sunday evening. When there's a fifth Sunday in a month, that evening service, that's when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this memorial time. But can I say to you that three or four or five times a year, however the calendar falls, listen, that's not the only times we can keep these things in memorial. Hey, listen, every time you pick up your old King James Bible, you ought to think of those things and remember those things. Every time maybe you see a cross or something like that, it ought to bring to mind that. Or maybe you have in your mind the time and the place where you knelt down and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And maybe when you come to that spot or that place, maybe it was a home, or maybe it was a park, or maybe it was a church, or maybe it was here at this church. Maybe it was at your door step and somebody came by with a gospel tract and showed you Christ. You know, whatever it is, whenever you walk through that place and that threshold, I remember down in Arlington, Pastor Lassiter, who's the pastor there now, he's been the pastor for, I believe, I think 12 or 13 years, but he was the associate pastor for 24 years under Dr. Smith's ministry. But he was saved at that church. And he talks often about how every day when he comes into work, he walks down that aisle, just like he did when he got saved. And he just goes down to where he knelt down and prayed, just thanks God that God provided him an opportunity to be saved. And he doesn't want to forget it. It's a memorial. I mean, and what a joy for him to be able to preach and to walk by that spot as he's preaching sermons there in that auditorium. Each and every time that he's up there, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, whatever it might be. But it's a memorial. We often think of those things. You say, well, that place for me is far away, but well, revisit it in your mind. Make sure you remember and preserve the memory of the day that you were saved. In Scripture, if you want to take your Bibles, you can turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Look at verse 4. It says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. Why? For a memorial. Not only that the people that were there would remember, but when the kids grow up and say, hey, what are these rocks here for? We could tell them. Hey, when your kids look up here and they say, Daddy, Mommy, what's that cross there for? What does this mean here on the front of this table? It says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, when they pass those silver plates around and they have those little tiny crackers in them and the little cups of grape juice, what is that all about? It's a memorial. And what is that shadow box for? What do those flags represent? What does it mean, lest we forget? What's Memorial Day? Time to remember. Keep things in memory. Preserving the memory. These things are important. In Psalm 135, verse 13, the Bible says, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. You know what would be a dark time? And what has been a dark time, if you study out the Bible? When people forget about God. What are the darkest times in the history of the children of Israel? When they forgot about God. What are some of the greatest times? Oh, when they were rummaging through the temple and they go, Whoa! We found the book! Remember God and all His laws and all His statutes? Whoa, this is cool! Check this out! That's in the Greek, okay? You can if you want to design a roller coaster based on the history of the children of Israel, that'd be a wild ride. It's up and down and up and down, whirl, sideways, wing, you know, just all over the place. Why? Because they remember God. They forgot God. They remember God. They forgot God. Just back and forth, up and down. It's not supposed to be that way. We shouldn't be that way. Memorials are important. Things that we set up. I'm just going to read a few excerpts. The word memorial is actually used 31 times in Scripture. It says in Exodus 13:9, And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. In Exodus 17, And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Exodus 28:12, And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. In verse 29 of the same chapter, And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. In Exodus 30, And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. Chapter 39, And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. We'll go back over to Exodus 12, where we started today. In verse 14, he said, This day shall be unto you for a memorial. Memorials are very important. We need them in our lives. And I want you to think about this particular passage, this particular circumstance. As the people were told to gather together, look at verse 2. He says, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So God kind of ordained this thing and he said, Hey, look, this time of the year, we're going to make this the first of the year. What significance is that? It's huge. It's a huge significance. He said, Hey, I'm going to order things so that this thing that I'm asking you to remember and keep for a memorial is going to be at the beginning of your year every year. We're going to start the year off right. That's what he's saying. We're going to remember these things. We're going to put this in the forefront of our mind every time we flip over the calendar. Boom, there it is. Right in our view, so we will remember and keep these things in memory. He says, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now you can see why when we talk about the calendar and different dates and stuff, that if we're going to really understand the Bible, we need to know what this is talking about as far as the Israelite calendar. It's not the same as our Gentile calendar. It's quite different. And he says, this month will be the first month. He says, speak unto you, unto all the congregation, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb. And it's supposed to keep that lamb. It's supposed to be a lamb without blemish and a male the first year. And it ought to kept and cared for. And it should be a spotless lamb. And it ought to be kept until the 14th day. And then everybody on that 14th day in the evening is supposed to kill the lamb. That's what they were supposed to do. And this was something they were supposed to do year after year, after year, after year, from generation to generation to generation and to generation. So that we keep in memory these things. Now let's flip ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we could go through the Gospels, but then we would have to stay here another 3 hours. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. It's a memorial. As you turn there and look at verse 17, Jesus told his disciples in the Gospels that he had a great desire to eat the Passover with them. He wanted to do this with them, and he was the one that instituted this. Because he wanted to make that relationship between the Passover lamb and himself, so they would understand what he was fulfilling. Because Jesus Christ is that lamb. We see here in verse 17, it says, Paul said, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not the houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So Paul's giving him a little bit of a tongue lashing, if you will, for not caring for this memorial. Shouldn't we not care for the things that are to be remembered? Should they not be kept in the sanctity of what they're supposed to be? I mean, we need to remember these things, and we need to remember them in the right fashion. You see, it's not a time to throw a potluck. This is the Lord's Supper. It's not really a supper unless you like little tiny crackers for supper. And you only get one. But you know what? It's a memorial. And it ought to be done the right way. He said, well, who's going to keep it the right way? Well, that's the job of the local church. You know, a lot of times we have things that we practice and do that maybe not a lot of people know about. But let me just tell you a little bit about the Lord's Supper. Paul was giving some things here, a little bit of information so that they would understand that, hey, this is not a time to come together and hold this memorial service. If you want to call that, you call that a potluck, okay? And have that on your own, or you can eat at home. That's not what this is for. This is for remembering the Lord. He said, I've received it of the Lord. That which also I delivered it unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So as we talk about this thing of the Lord's Supper, and sometimes people call it communion or whatever it might be, we tend to call it the Lord's Supper because that's what the Lord called it, right? And that's what Paul called it here, that this was the Lord's Supper. And so we see that this is something that we need to keep in memory, and it needs to be remembered correctly according to the Scriptures. And it's the church's responsibility to keep it that way. So as we kind of think about this, I want to just mention to you that there are different ideas about the Lord's Supper. Some churches or some religions, if you will, practice something called open communion or the open Lord's Supper, where anybody in attendance can participate and take a little cup and take a little cracker, and I'm calling them crackers, it's unleavened bread, and that's what it represents, according to what was set forth in Scripture. And it just is anyone in attendance, anybody can participate, and it's just a free-for-all. Now, I don't tend to think that that's the right kind or the right way to do things. Paul seemed to be quite against that, did he not? Absolutely. There's another form that many churches practice is called what they call close communion. And this is basically where the church signifies that people are saved, they're born again, they're of like faith, they believe like we believe. And a lot of times that indicates someone who's a member. But sometimes we even have this particularly tonight, where there are people that believe like we believe. They come from other Baptist churches, and they think like we do. They agree with the things that we agree with, and they're born again, they're baptized, they're believers. And they have something to keep in memory, like we have to keep in memory. And that's often called close communion. And then there's another one called closed or restricted communion or the Lord's Supper. Some people call it intimate communion. And this is basically restricted to those who are the members of that particular local church. And you know what? There's a lot of churches that do that, and that's just fine. You see, because it's the church's responsibility to keep these ordinances and to make sure that they're kept for a memorial unto the Lord. So we need to make sure that we understand what these things mean. We want to make sure that the memory that is intended to be remembered is remembered. Do not worry about the babies. I asked them to come over. That's all right, Isaac. Come on in here. We want to make sure that these things are kept as they should be. God wants us to keep these things in memory. Let me ask you a question. Can someone keep in memory the sinless blood of Christ and the sinless body of Christ and the joy of salvation if they've never been saved? No, they can't. They don't have any memory of that because they've never experienced that. Can someone who doesn't really believe that the Bible is true and follow these things, if you will, as we intend to believe, can they have that same memorial or memory of that time? They really can't. So it's important that we make sure to keep these things in order. I felt it important tonight to kind of mention to you that we prefer, if you will, either the close or closed type communion. And the only reason is because Paul says it's very important that someone examine themselves and they do not take of the bread and the drink and the cup unworthily. That's important. You see, we need to make sure that we've been born again. We need to make sure that we're following the Lord, that we're examining ourselves and revealing the sin in our lives and living worthily to the Lord. In verse 29, it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Paul goes on to say to the Corinthians, "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when ye are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So tonight, as we close our services, I want you really to consider this thing of memorial. What it really means and what it means to you. And as we close, we'll pray for the invitation. We'll have a time of invitation. And then after the invitation, we'll begin the Lord's Supper. And I just want to say to you that at this local church, we want you to know that you know that you know you're born again. We do. And we want you to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that these things are true things. The way to live. It's the Word of God. It's what we uphold for all matters of faith and practice. And we ask that if there are some here that are of like faith, you're a saved, born again believer, of like faith, you may participate tonight in the Lord's Supper, this memorial time. And if not, why don't you consider what it means to remember these things. It's an important time. And I think it's very critical to remember, to remind you that we need to examine ourselves. As Paul encouraged the Corinthians. It is a somber time. A time of memorial. And we want to make sure that the Word of God is followed. That God Himself and the things that He asked us to remember are remembered. They're kept in our memories, passed on from generation to generation.